The Martyr of Modern American Satire, Lenny Bruce. That's our focus on this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. I'm King David McKenzie.
Now, we have another talent scout here. And how do you do? It's good to see you. What's your name, Mrs. Bruce?
Mrs. Bruce.
Mrs. Sally Bruce.
That's right.
Tell me who you brought with you tonight. Where do you come from?
Freeport.
Freeport, huh? Who'd you bring with you, Mrs. Bruce?
My son.
Get right on. Your son? What's your son do?
He's a comedian.
A comedian. What's his name?
Lenny Bruce.
Lenny Bruce. What's his professional background?
His professional background? Well, when he came out of the Navy, he worked a lot of theaters and nightclubs throughout the coast. And more recently, he was at the Crossroads nightclub in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. What kind of comedy does he do?
Oh, impersonations, mimicry.
Oh, wonderful. And what's his name?
Lenny Bruce.
Lenny Bruce. Let's bring him on. Thank you, Mrs. Bruce.
Good evening, everyone. It's great to see that television is coming in so strong in vaudeville. You know, the acts that I get the biggest kick out of are the impersonators. I love when they come out and say, "All right, George, I want you to stay up the north side. You stay up the south side. You stay up the west side. You stay up the north side and you stay up the east side. I'm glad there's no more sides." Or they go, "Please, get out of here. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. And besides that, I don't like you." Then the feminine characters. "Riley. Riley, mother. Oh, kiss me, Gregory. Kiss me, Gregory. Oh, Gregory, how you can peck." But you know, I don't know if you people realize it or not, but we're not the only country that have impersonators. While I was in the Navy, I spent about 2.5 years overseas. And some of that time was spent in Bavaria. In the evenings, if we didn't have anything to do, there was a little Bavarian vaudeville house. And the act that I got the biggest kick out of was the Bavarian mimic. "This is Frau mit Stab de Musik. Just got back from Hollywood, California. Made zwei pictures. One to zwei and one to zwei." "Das ist die Frau mit dem fliegen Fäusen Poisonation. Das ist die Frau mit dem Gangster mit dem Rauben Cagney." "All right, Jaco. Das ist die Frau mit den Fragen. Du hörst die Frage. Das ist die Frau mit den Fragen. Das ist die Frau mit den Schläger. Das ist die Frau mit dem Lippenstee. Das ist der Frieger mit Monsterman, mit alles Hollywooden. This is the man mit dem Peter Lorre. Please, das ist Frau mein Schwiegensaugen. Das ist der Krieger mit dem Augen, der Mann mit dem Augen geschwiegen. Why? Das ist der Frau mit den Pyramids. Das ist der Frieger mit Feminine, mit alles Hollywooden. Das ist der Kluge mit dem Betty Davis. Fill up, Frage the letter. Das ist Frauge. Frauge, Frauge, Frauge. Puh, you're laughing. Das ist Frauge Morgen, a fat lip. Das ist der Kluge mit Old Man mit alles Hollywooden. This is the man mit dem Kluge mit alles in Frauen Barry Fitzgerald.
Das ist Kluge mit Friedensschmelz.
Now, das ist der Mann mit Badmann mit alles Hollywooden. Das ist der Frege mit dem Schmiggi, Schmiggi, Schmiggi. Das ist der Mann mit dem Frauger, mit dem Humpfen Bogart. All right, Rege, drauf die Schmäge. Das ist der Frieden mit Singen und Bouncing, Frankie Lane. 1, 2, 3, 4, ein Schwein. Das Dräge trab die Schmäge. Das Flügen, Maus und Pain. Das ist die Flüge.
Lenny Bruce, as he was presented by his mother, Sally Marr, and one of the hottest stars in American broadcasting, Arthur Godfrey, on the April 18, 1948 broadcast, over both the radio and television networks of the Columbia Broadcasting System, of Arthur Godfrey and his talent scouts. Bruce is a conventional and somewhat mild nightclub mimic, won that evening's talent competition. It was America's first taste of what would become, about 9 to 10 years later, a stunningly talented satirist. Bruce continued to work in this manner for several more years, his career never quite taking off to the levels that he thought he was capable of. Interestingly, while as an MC in CD burlesque dives, Bruce, who had nothing to really lose, began finding his true satiric voice, eventually working himself up to better nightclubs with material like this item on his experiences with the monopolistic Bell Telephone Company of the 1950s.
I am, by nature, pretty nervous, and I can't be bothered looking up numbers for information in the phone book. I don't know how you feel about that. Some people are cool with that. They can look up in the book, but I right away, 411, that's it. But my mind works in such a discursive manner that I forget the number always. I get it, I repeat it, and when I hang up, it blanks out. So then I'm always embarrassed to call back. Like a nut, I'm disguising my voice.
Do you have the auto club?
Right? There's 10,000 operators there. Yeah. I really don't dig the phone company anyway. It's a monopoly. If you get too hot with a phone company, you'll end up with a Dixie cup and a thread. Where are you going to go besides them? Now, I'm 33 now. When I was about 19 or 20, I really would be hot with a phone company. But I used to go, like, make a long-distance call in a dark gas station. You leave, the phone rings. It's a long-distance operator. I do have images of, like, phone operators. Can you see them? I can see them when I talk to them. Chicks who work in phone companies, like, their names are Terry, Winnie, Midge. And they wear cotton pants and Kreskies with the days of the week on it, right? But always the wrong day. This long-distance operator, I'll be $3.70 for overtime. Lots of luck. What? Forget the money. You're not getting it. Well, I don't know. It's not too hard to understand. You're not getting the money. That's why. You don't need it anyway, right? Don't be a company girl. Forget it. You're not... Well, I don't understand. Well, you're not... I'm going to give you the supervisor. I can't wait. This is the supervisor. Ah, you nitwit. Can we have your name, sir? Yes, it's Mort Saul. Poor Mort gets phone calls and everything. Tijuana is the greatest place in the world to make phone calls. Hello, Telefonica, it's Tijuana. I want to call Beverly Hills. I want Crestview 45506. Okay, they're going to be $7.50. What's the matter? I've only got $4. Put it in. Some chiclets, a sweater.
Eventually, Lenny found himself hot enough to appear on nationwide television, first noting Lenny's ability to entertainingly, quoting now, offend everyone. Steve Allen brought Lenny onto his NBC TV Tonight Show in the mid-1950s. It was the first time Lenny met with the sometimes odd mentalities of network censors. Lenny later told one of his nightclub audiences about this experience.
Because it was, you know,
I was on Steve Allen yet.
Oh, that was a weird bit.
That was a great.
But I got to tell you what happened. Thanks, Steve. It's a dumb comment. But I did the Steve Allen show. You know, I've got a reputation for being a little irreverent at times, you know. There's some basis for it, you know. But I'm not that far out. But then again, I'm not a Lenten special by any means, you know. So, my manager, you know, I don't have an agency, you know. So I like he's a nice cat, Jack Sobel. He's good. He has good things. He's got heavy wrists and strength. You know, he's good. He's like a good tumble. He's got strength to run around and yell. So, we go with his show, you know. And start talking. And now they have a thing called continuity, where there are censors, you know, on NBC, and they listen to everything that you have to do. Now, this is really a traumatic experience for me, just from the fact that if once I do the routine for somebody, now, even though I'll do a routine, like, verbatim, from one show to another show, that gives me a semi-rationalization, because I feel funny, because you don't know I did the bit before.
But to do the same bit for the same person twice, I don't feel like a comic anymore. Then I feel like an actor. You know, even though I created the material myself, I just feel like an actor who's reciting. So for them to say, okay, you're going to do this on the Steve Allen Show, word for word, and then do it again, I just don't feel funny. So it's really bugging me. So I got 15 guys that are censors that kind of sit there, you know, and I'm doing the bit. Now, Steve Allen, by the way, is a brilliant guy, very literate. He's the only comic I know that's an excellent, serious writer. You know, he's really a heavyweight as far as an intellectual is concerned. And he's got a hip sense of humor. So he's laughing, he's cracking up everything. Now, the producer, Bill Harbeck, is laughing, but he's got a little more to lose. You know? So I think he's giving these kind of laughs, like, ha, 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 Jesus. So now, I do the bit, finish it all up, you know. The guy says, okay, this, take this out, bam, bam. It's okay. 15 minutes, a lot of time, you know, in an hour show. All right, now it's about a day before, and they go through the rehearsal. Right? So that guy comes on me, continuity, you know. So anyone to talk to, you know. Oh, yeah. He says, there's a couple of things that we're going to take out, you know. I said, well, screw it. I'm not going to do the show. They go, ah, that's always the first defensive. I said, no, it'll be different if any of my humor I can make continual scatological references. I don't do motel jokes. I don't do Shriner, American Legion humor, you know? So I'm doing down things. And if any there's any objection, it's either some irreverence, which I didn't do any religious connotation jokes. You know? So just nothing can be objectionable that I'm doing. I know, you know. It's blah, 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 you know, back and forth. Now, I'm going to tell you what they objected to, which I didn't do on the show. Remember the joke I did? I talk about the tattoo, you know, which actually I have, you know. I got a tattoo and I got this in Malta, in the Mediterranean in 1942. And I did the joke on the show. I said, I smoked Marlboros when I was 6 years old and it grew up, you know. It's a funny joke, which I've done before. So now, from there, I go into, I said that because, which is a truism, because of this tattoo, I never can be buried in a Jewish cemetery. That's the Orthodox scene. You have to go out of the world the way you came into the world, same bit, no changes, nothing. You know? So I come back from Malta. I came back from the Mediterranean about 1947. So I'm in my aunt's kitchen in Sutton Boulevard. This is Jamaica, you know. So I'm washing with a Roki soap, you know. So she pins the tattoo, you know. So she looks and she goes, that, it's a Jewish seagull, you know. Got those kind of aunts, they talk that way on the phone. Oh, sir, hello, label. Excuse me. Yeah. So gin rummy voices. You know, Shemanda Fair voices. Yeah. So she looks at you. Look at you did. You're doing your mom. You can't be back in a Jewish cemetery. I said, why do you nudge me? They'll cut this sword. The bread is in a Gentile cemetery. Fuck you, right? Well, continuity says to me, well, that's definitely offensive to the Jewish people. I said, you're a nut. No, they're very sensitive, you know, them with their strange rituals and their cages. And I said, it's not, the truth can never be offensive, it's the truth, that's it. No, blah, blah, blah. Now it's going back and forth, you know. So now now they have a meeting. I'm standing over there like the leper. I'm waiting to put the bell on my neck, you know. Good in Vegas, you know. I'm not an existentialist, but I realize, you know, but I'm definitely not a materialistic person, you know. They got, it takes me $100 a week to live, you know. I got enough to live another 2 years, that's it, Debbie, you know. So the guy's like, blah, blah, blah. Now, come on, now, don't be a baby. You know, that's a good defense. Be a mensch, sell out. You know? So, come here, we talk it over, Lenny, and it's definitely offensive to the Gentile people, too. Oh, yes, how do you figure that? He said, well, what you're saying in essence is that the Gentile people don't care what they bury.
A few years later, Lenny was asked back into late night television, this time Playboy's Penthouse, a Chicago-based program in which Playboy magazine publisher Hugh Hefner essentially held a party in the studios of WBKB-TV, the Chicago station owned by the ABC network, and let cameras capture the experiences of Hef and his party guests, including, in this clip, Lenny Bruce and the great jazz singer and pianist Nat King Cole. It was a weekly airing of this mixture of whites, Jews, and African Americans that Hefner intentionally coordinated in order to break down the social segregation then prevailing in commercial television. As a result, his program was never carried by stations in the Deep South, and because of conversations like what we're about to hear, stations in the northern and western U.S. were usually reluctant to carry the program as well. It folded after only two seasons in syndication.
This is a kind of an interesting party. You know, I first figured it would be like sort of a TV, you know, typical fake party, you know. But it's got a good party feeling to it with some pretty chicks, you know, which is a good composite, you know.
Well, the girls and we and serve real liquor and it does the trick.
Do you think you'll get any objection, drinking on the show? I don't think I've ever seen that on the show. Do you think that'll be objection?
We'll find out. We hope not.
Yeah, I hope not. Because I would hope so if none of the viewers drank at home. But if they do drink, then I would want the same honesty to be on the show, you know, which should be the motivation for the show. And then that's what grooved me about the show, that it's an honest, it's actually a party. So whatever happens at a party, within, you know, limitations.
Well, we're trying to, trying to build the personality of the show out of the magazine itself and make the thing a sort of a sophisticated weekly get-together of the people that we dig and who dig us. Just have ourselves a kind of a late-night ball.
When I first heard that Playboy was going to do a penthouse party, I sort of wondered, and you know, and not what you're supposing. I wondered, because I would never satirize the obvious. I wondered about the sponsor, because I'm sure there has to be some sponsor identification. And I was wondering about the sponsor. Will the sponsor out there say, well, Playboy is very chic and, as you said, sophisticated. The magazine is filled with car coats, sports cars, and there's a prospective sponsor out there. Do you figure that your viewer, suppose he can't afford the sports car, the sports coat? Well, I've been thinking about that, and I'm glad that you've got some guts. You're not interested in the people that don't have any money.
That's right.
I mean, you people out there, this is just my opinion, you people out there are just going to have to wait till your own magazine comes along, the Reader's Digest, maybe, you know.
They'll have their own TV show.
Yeah, or Field and Stream. That'd be good. Field and Stream, the playmate for December, has a duck in her mouth. And she comes out with me, sort of a group.
Jazz, I heard you had a great concert here, which I'm sorry I missed. But I got a call from somebody from your organization in Lima, Peru.
You were in Lima at the time?
I've sit up in the hotel room and I get a phone call. I don't know the fella's name right now. He called me in regards to this jazz concert. Mm. And he said, I want you to do a concert. I said, are you kidding? I said, I'm in Peru. He said, I know. Why don't you just call GAC right there in Chicago? Why are you calling it all the way down here? To hear me say no and waste all the money, you can get it right up there. He said, I just wanted to talk to you.
Because he had a credit card. He wanted to use it.
Well, as a matter of fact, Ella, who's going to be with us a little later on in the evening.
I thought that was pretty funny, Hugh, and you didn't. You just brushed me.
I'm sorry.
That's good. I just got
stepping on some of your best material.
It's not sincere.
Say, by the way, I got to get that album of yours.
Yeah, it's a groovy album.
Did you really take that cover in the graveyard?
In a cemetery.
You really did. No props.
No, there was really. Well, how it happened was. Is it okay to cop out?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Tell the true story.
He's referring to the cover, the cemetery there. Well, what had happened is, you can't just sneak in a graveyard and take a picture.
You had the permission?
Well,
broad daylight. Permission?
No one signed any releases there.
Cast of thousands, but...
Hollywood is pretty wild, pretty far out kind of people.
This was taken in Hollywood?
In a Hollywood graveyard.
Which one?
Well,
no commercials.
You can't tell.
No.
Oh, they don't want it advertised.
Well, no, they didn't know about it. The people in the grave.
Yard.
Well, I mean the caretaker. What happened is an eccentric millionaire, a friend of mine, who owns the property, and he really doesn't particularly dig the graveyard, enjoy it, you know. And he asked me if I wanted to help him break the lease. So we went, ha ha, that's a true.
Is it really true?
It's a lottery. It's real freaks out there. You know? So that was it. So we said, let's go. But he didn't want to be irreverent and jump on the graves or anything like that. Just walk softly, have the picnic, and split. And that was it.
Just a quiet, good taste picnic in the middle.
And all
of the
he wanted to do was watch. Mm-hmm. And that was his kick.
This is the album cover of Lenny's.
That's
right. Yeah, it's pretty far out.
Wow, it is. I'm going to get
far out album too.
Yeah, I heard a lot about this.
Especially since the A&R man is buried there.
Since.
Yeah.
Oh, they left him there.
They left
after the album came out.
Inspired by these television experiences, Lenny began to touch upon the subject that earned him the wrath of persons in public office with strong traditional religious beliefs. This nightclub recording is an example of his growing social commentary.
That's one of the reasons I got busted, by the way, for my reference. And they're really not true Catholics that busted me, because the Jesuits dig me. I get, honest to God, and I get a delightful letter, the Commonweal, it's a Catholic newspaper, the only comic gets a good review. But I get, see, I, Emmett, that's true, man. I got a kind of a thing, well, it's, my point of view would be accepted by the Pope, but rejected by Al Capone. It's the Catholics that are pro-segregation. It's really weird, man, to think that... Well, see, in the dictionary, a Jew, one who is descended from the ancient tribes of Judea. But that's what it says in the dictionary. You and I know what a Jew is. One who killed the Lord. Oh, we did it. Oh, yeah, I didn't impress on that in Northern California with all the colleges here. But, we did it, 2,000 years ago. There should be a statute of limitations with that crime. But those that neither the axe and the gate of Christians will bust us out forever. And I've wondered why. Why do you shut us out? Why, Jew, you skirt the issue. You're blaming on Roman soldiers. All right, I'll clear the air and confess. We did it. Yes, we did. Yeah. We did it. I did it, my family. I found a note in the basement. Said, we
killed him, signed Morty.
You're finally going to cop out. That's right. Herb Cain got married in an Episcopalian church. Is he kidding? What's the matter with him? That's a slap in the face to me. He's a Heidelberg Jew, a blue-eyed Jew. They're dangerous. Now, what's the purpose of getting married in the church if it's not a mockery to the church? And certainly he hasn't got an Episcopalian background. That one cat in the minister, and if any man here should know why this couple should not be joined in the round and round matrimony, let him speak now or forever hold his peace. He killed Christ! That's the end of the wedding. That would have been...
Lenny became such a star that a performance was booked at Carnegie Hall in New York City on midnight of February the 5th of 1961. New York had experienced one of its largest blizzards ever the previous night, with snow banks along Broadway covering up to four stories of some buildings. Still, Carnegie Hall was packed, and as we hear in these two excerpts, Lenny was firing on every cylinder.
You know, working Carnegie Hall is like, I dig it, you know. But I had a lot of fantasies with it, you know. Two great fantasies. One, he introduces me and I come out with a violin and I just cook it. But for an hour, man. Every Stravinsky heavy. And I don't say a word, Zugnish and I split, you know. You know, what was that, man? I don't know, it's a concert, he played a violin, man. He didn't do any bits? No, man. He just swaled his ass with a violin. No, yeah, okay. Now, number two fantasy is that since it's a 12 o'clock scene, maybe the people who own this place don't even know we're here. Right? Yeah, you get a guy who's like a good corrupt janitor. You know? All right, but don't make no noise and clean up after you finish, all right? That's it, right? That's it, right? Yeah. Okay. Okay, what are the two end religions in this country that really cook the most? Christianity, the law of Judea, right? Now, Christ and Moses, and although they did, his mother and sister did get leprosy. See Ben-Hur? If I'm picking it. That's it, right? Don't pick it. Right. Stop picking, you're going to get leprosy. It itches because it's getting better, but don't pick it. I'm picking. You're picking it? You're going to pick it? You're going to pick. What are you picking? I'm picking. All right, you're going to keep picking it. And you know why they got leprosy, Ben-Hur's mother? Because they didn't put paper on the seat. Hey, it's old dopey, old bubba miser. Didn't put paper on the seat, they got leprosy. Yeah. Got to be your religious leader who will get out there. This. Are you a Christian? Definitely a Christian? What's a Christian mean? Well, that I'm as much in his image as I can be. Okay, yes, beautiful, because Christ was a delight. Oh, Moses, just beauty. You know. If you are like them, then that's it, then. Then I love you, because then I know you'll relate to everyone the way the Christ of Moses that I have read of. That Christ of Moses that would just... How would they relate to any school scene? Christ... But children, Nafkas, come on, that's relating, just pure love. Yeah. So Christ and Moses in heaven, I don't know where it is, I know it's not up there, because I believe that the earth revolves. And sometimes you can go to heaven at 12:07, and go to hell at 6:30. Yeah. It'd be a great name for a book, right? Hell is to the left. Yeah, maybe, right now, yeah. So, okay, now Christ and Moses... Look at the earth, and they say, well, obviously the book is bombing down there. Gideon's just shoving it in motel drawers, and that's all. Through usage, yeah, it's lost impact. Is that, give us this thing out there, like, yeah, usage becomes trite then. Like, good night. It doesn't mean good night. You know, the guy said good night to me, isn't it? No, it's really a contraction. Good night, 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 good night. Thank you. Does thank you mean, oh, thank you? If anyone ever said thank you to you, really, oh, thank you. Tachas, look at it. Thank you, thank you. Yeah, so again, the Bible, usage. Yeah, do a rewrite on it, definitely. It's about time for that. Yeah, certain things are complete superstition, have no validity at all in the Bible, man. Yeah, they're just the antithesis of everything that is correct intellectually. But some of the basic things, heavy, beautiful. So they'll make the earth. Let's see, Christ and Moses come down, Saturday, shul day. Synagogue day, right? Let's make all the shuls, right? Second Avenue shuls. Real shuls. Shuls that the gypsies took over. Because it was storefront synagogues. Now the gypsies are cooking there. So now... Here we go to the West Coast. Christ and Moses will make reform shuls, reformed rabbis. So reformed, they're ashamed they're Jewish. And they got a different sound. Is it typical reformed rabbi sound? Service, right? 12:01 Saturday night. When it should be said of the children of Israel. Ha ha, Israel. Where is Israel? Is yonder Israel? Out quench on flaming yahrzeit candle, Israel. That is the Israel of Chabellion David and Ruth and Cheryl Ann and Joy. Oh, Rabbi, that was a beautiful speech. Thanks a lot. You like that, Vidal? Tough top, my head. Oh, yeah. All right, now, Sunday. Christ and Moses fly to New York. Transcontinental, $88 to Chicago, $30. All right. All right, now let's see what they would make. They'd probably make, they say, what's playing at St. Pat's? Oh, good double bill, Spellman and Sheen. That's okay. Oh, Mr. Spellman, oh, Mr. Sheen. Okay, now, Christ and Moses both possessed humility. Why? Wisdom, that's it. Anybody who is secure, there's never any hostility, because he's cool. Yeah. Anyone who is above you, even, so they just stand on the back of St. Patrick's. And they'd listen, look around. Cardinal Spellman would be relating love and giving and forgiveness to the people. And Christ would be confused. because their route took them through Spanish Harlem. And who would wonder what 40 Puerto Ricans were doing living in one room? This guy had a ring on it was worth $8,000. And he would wonder at the grandeur. See, why aren't the Puerto Ricans living here? It's clean and nice. What does it all mean? And what? And they'd just be shucking back and forth and talking. And maybe Bishop Sheen would see them back there and run up to Spellman on the lectern. Psst, I want to talk to you for a minute. Well, you go back to the blackboard and stop bugging me now. I want to talk to you. I've got a customer in the back. All right, put the choir on for 10 minutes. What is it? What is it? You'll never guess who's here. Who's here? You're not going to believe me. You're going to think I've been drinking. All right, who's here? Christ and Moses. Are you putting me on now? I'm telling you they're here. Are you sure it's them? Well, I've just seen them in pictures, but I'm pretty sure it's them. Moses is a ringer for Charlton Heston, and I'm sure. Where are they standing? In the back. Don't look now, you idiot. They can see us. Christ and Moses, both here. They're way in the back there. Did Christ bring the family? What's his mother's name? That's weird. I read the book today, too. I'm so nervous. Mary. Mary what? I don't know. Mary Hale? No. Mary Hale. Hail Mary? Harry Mary? No, I don't know what that looks. Oh, yeah. Hail Mary. Oh, Hail Mary full of grace Thompson. They're very thick with the DuPonts. I know. Montauk Point. They're back here, yes. All right. That's something. If this ever gets around now, it has. Oh, Christ. Don't look in the front door. The lepers are coming. All right. Sir, would you take the bell off, please? Thank you very much. Wait, mister, will you pick up your leg? Madam, your nose, you dry. Thank you. They got Sophie Tucker with Moses posing. Take that Hebrew National banner down. Mr. Jess, will you get off the Madonna? That's not a stat. All right, give me a direct line to Rome, quickly. Rome. All right. Hello. John Fran in New York. Listen, a couple of kids dropped in, and, Yeah, you know them. Well, I can't really talk right now. Excuse me. Hello, we're from Newsweek, and we want to know if they have State Department clearance, and is that really them? Yes, it is them. Sonny, get off my hand. Yes, that is them, dear, yes. I don't know if they're going to do any tricks today. I don't know. Yes, they can fly. No, Mary Martin isn't God's mother, and get the hell out of here now. Hello. You know them. One kid is, with a cross of bop. No, not Zorro. Damn, that's right. He brought a very attractive Jewish boy with him. Oh, he got to do something. Well, I know. I can't put him up at your place. No, I didn't paint or anything. Oh, I got a lot of kids staying over here. Look, what are we paying protection for? That's right. Just get him over here. That's all. Yeah. I don't want to hear about that. Look, all I know is that we're up to our ass in crutches and wheelchairs. Is that good enough for you? The place is ridiculous here. Yeah. They're in the back. Way in the back. Of course they're white. Yeah. Yeah. This is New York. Puerto Ricans stand in the back. That's right. I don't know. Which ones are they, Sheen? The ones that are glowing. Yeah.
Not long afterwards, Bruce was arrested in San Francisco for uttering a profanity on stage. This is Lenny's creative way of conveying the experience to a later concert audience.
The bust. What I got arrested for in San Francisco. San Francisco, I got arrested for... we can hear that, Daddy. I'm not going to repeat the word because I want to finish the gig here tonight. It's... they said it was... is vernacular for a favorite homosexual practice, a 10-letter word. It's really chic. That's 2 4-letter words and a preposition. I can't, I wish I could tell you the word. It starts with a C. Well, you know what the word is. Now, it's weird how they manifested that word as homosexual, because I don't. That relates to any contemporary chick I know, or would love, or would marry, you know. And, now, when I took the bus, I finished the show, I said that word, you know, the 10-letter word, and he comes over and says, Lenny, my name is Sergeant Blah Blah. You know the word you said? I said a lot of words that time. Well, that word. Oh, yeah. Well, Lenny, that's against the law to take you down. Okay, that's cool. It's against the law to say it and to do it. Well, I didn't do it, man. I know, but I just have to tell you that all the time. Okay. All right. Now, I'm getting in the way again. And the one, he's cool, because he said you broke the law and specifically this thing. Now, the other guy, look, I got a wife and kid. I don't want to hear that crap at all, man. I don't want to get involved emotionally with this. What do you mean I want to hear that crap? Do I ever do that to you? Bam. Then it got very sticky. No. You ever say the word no? Never said honest to God, never said the word never. How long you married? 18 years. You ever chip your wife? Never. Never one time in 18 years you chip it down your old lady? Never one time. Then I love you. Because you're a spiritual guy, but if you're lying, you'll spend some dead time in purgatory. Now, we really got really into it. Okay. Now, get in the court, take the same bus, the judge, Aaron Avramitz, a red-headed junkyard Jew, a real fabissiner with thick fingers and a homemade glass eye. Tough folk, right? He comes in, blah, blah, so, swear the heat in. What'd he say? Your Honor, he said blah, blah, blah. The judge, he said blah, blah, blah. Then the guy really yented it up. That's right. Yeah, I didn't believe it. There was a guy up on the stage in front of women in a mixed audience saying blah, blah, blah. The judge, this I never heard, blah, blah, blah. Said blah, blah, blah. He said blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to lie to you. It's in the minutes. I'm not going to lie to you. All right. The DA. The guy said blah, blah, blah. Look at him. He's smug. He's not going to repent. Then they dug something. They sort of like saying blah, blah, blah. Because they said it a few extra times. Oh, look, do me a favor, too, because this is very self-indulgent. But never applaud, because it really breaks my pace, and I hate it, because I don't know what to do. I can't smile like when I'm in the door. We don't want you to do something funny, and that's not, so I don't do it anymore. Now, we got so embarrassed, blah, 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 the bailiff is yelling. What do you say? Shut up, you blah, blah, blah. They were yelling in another court. What do you say? Blah, blah, blah. God damn, it's good to say blah, 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 that blah, 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 that blah, 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 that blah, blah, blah.
Later that same year, while performing at a nightclub in Philadelphia, Lenny was busted, this time for drugs that it turned out he had a legitimate prescription for. This was how he described that event for a concert audience the following night.
Yeah, Philadelphia. I'm at a club. I get sick. I had staphylococcus last year. So I'm a little afraid. Anytime I get a fever, I get chills. I'm a doctor. I got 3 days off, and I really cop down. I know I'm older now. I think I'm in the hospital. I'm going to take a checkup. I don't feel good. Have it down in the hospital. Check in the hospital. Schliff on it. Get out of the hospital. Doctor, medicine. Medicine. Prescription. Go to a pharmacist. Fill prescription. Used. Out of hospital. 12 hours later. In bed. Schliffed out. Here. Who is that? Open up the door, Miss Bruce. Look, I'm going to check out right now. You know my scene, that I sleep a certain time. I'd never want any calls. I told you no emergency calls, because I get like 1,000 calls. Please, Mr. Bruce, open up the door. It's for your own good. Who is that? It's the manager. Open up the door. What? No, it must be a nut, because I'm a good guest, always good tipper. Guest is a madman who says he's the manager. Get me the police. Here they come. The door and the wall came down. Shoo. What is this? This is service. I call for the heat, and here they are. All right. What's this and this and this and this? Didn't nuts already. I'm not feeling well. I'll just get to the hospital. Come on, you dope addict now. What do you want to know? Watch it. Name's Lenny Bruce. Where I live. I get out of Havertown Hospital. I'm not feeling well. I'm going to tell you a second time now. My name is Lenny Bruce. Where I live, blah, blah, blah. What do you want? Zuglish. And I'm laying in bed. Okay, now they got Sawalski. He was beautiful. And they had Perry. For heat. Now they're looking, looking, looking. Hey, what are you doing with all these books here? I smoked them at night. They're all dipped in secret shtick off in every page. In fact, if you go, you didn't know this. When he's any town, you just cut the ad out of the paper from the jazz club and smoke and come out of your kayak. Come on, he's putting you on now. All right, get out of bed. My prescription from my doctor, who that they're going to take me away. I just can't believe it. I just called the Havertown Hospital. I just got to the hospital. All of a sudden, I hear. What's that? That's the ambulance. Weird. Now, comes up two harness bulls with a stretcher. All right, get out of bed, get in a stretcher. Oh, this is another schlub. What did you bring the stretcher for, Dopey?
The guy said you're sick.
Well, what do you tell sick people? Get out of bed, get in a stretcher? You put them in a stretcher. I mean, don't you know when you're dead and I'm dead and the minutes are red, the schlub, he was sick, then he got out of bed, got in a stretcher?
Okay. Now, you must understand, I am... I am what I have on. Just my shorts. Schlift. These shoes... I got them in Tom McCann 3 years ago, and they really caught on. I'll show you. Honest to God, I'm not putting you on. Yeah, okay. Now, you know that without, if I'm not involved in it, this shoe takes 40 minutes to get on. It's just weird, but they had the shoe. All right, let me try it. All right. And they, there's two guys with the shoe. So this one Hansberg goes, yeah, I know what I'll do. Well, oh, no, but he's really doing all the movie caricatures that he saw other policemen do. Oh, he's sicky. Hickey dicky. I guess we'll just cut it. I said, you'd like to, you schlub. You know the fact you said you cut it? That's why this man over here, the detective, is quiet and nice and subdued. And you putzo, that's why you stayed in the uniform. Well, that's why he heard that. He picked me up. I am a 6-year-old man, like this. Bow, on the stretcher. Okay. Now he's bugged with me. He's really drunk. I dig what he does. Him and the other guy. And now he's really grumbling. That's why I stay on the bus, huh? Now they're carrying me and bumping me into the walls. Bump. Now did we get to the elevator? Hotel elevators are not built for stretchers. A real Stolz elevator operator. He's stopping at every floor doing his business. Yeah. Now, see, elevators, as it is, are classic places for meditation. Because somehow everybody gets zugnish, means shut up in elevators. You can be talking, wailing with your friends. So I tell you, it's Charlie, blah, blah, elevator door, blah, blah. It's weird, but it's a zugnish. So knowing that and then seeing this, it's like, huh? Now, out of the elevator. Now, for the first time, I see the John Bartram Hotel from a different perspective. I see the all beautiful ceiling. Ding, 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 ding. And then into the car. Boom, inside some kind of truck, a newspaper truck. I'm not putting honest to God. Ramp, they hit a car. Now, I said, this is French satire. Like, they hit the car, sure enough. The nut they hit is a real irate citizen. You policeman with your sirens demanding to see his operator's license. This guy's in good temper now. Now I see they carry me upstairs, upstairs. If we get to the hospital, I'm on a dusty floor. Vroom, he's yours. Then, vroom, Lieutenant Bondi, look, you junkie, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah. Lieutenant Bondi. Blah. You don't know me. I'll tell you something. I'm not bugged with you for hitting me. Because I would hit you. I realized that probably through years of this scene, you found out that there are people who are psychotic, on a fourth authority, who keep, so you found that's a stamp, and then you, because if you don't give a good schluffo, that's probably good psychotic. First time you get in there, wappo, no brutality, but a good frosking punim. Because if not, probably got some good nutsos, then they can't even do their gig. They can't even feed the other guys. That's why I said, I realize this and not bug with you. And so since I'm not bug with you, it's like an experiment. So, in other words, like, if I tell my kid, we're going to play a game where I slap you like that, see, and really structure it right, she'll never cry. But if I just go, so that's the impact. So you'd have to really whack me out a lot. So I want to save you a lot of effort. And this, because you're going to hit me and I'm not going to be bugged with you, so it won't have any effect. It's not a thing, give up, because I understand what's happening. You have a gig, and then it's the Philly magistrate. Yeah. So that's why I keep saying Kaiser instead of Axelrod, because I'm already conditioned for Axelrod. I assume a little improper. They're about on par. Now, dig this. Axelrod, and you know I'm not a sycophant. Or else Screeve Condorie for Axelrod. So what I'm going to tell you, this is no cop-out, that I feel no hostility for him because of his age.
because I know that his generation, different scene. He came up with a depression. Like, if you don't do it to them first, I'll do it to you. And that's really socked in good. And no, his grandchildren, Gig Axelrod. I warn you, Lenny Bruce, if you use the language that you used at that show, your appearance here, then I got completely out of it, you know. But into it enough that I know that we are him and I. I said, you specifically warn me? Yes, I warn you that if you use, if I hear of those words, if I hear of those words, if he hears from somebody else that I talk dirty tonight, then I'll be in court again. The judge has heard the word hearsay so much he forgot what the hell it means. That's hearsay, hearsay, hearsay. It's like good night, good night, good night, good night. Thank you, hearsay. That's hearsay over check, overrule over. That's it. Hearsay, hearsay. That's hearsay. When I hear a judge hear this, if I hear of it, you better bring your toothbrush. Now, bring your toothbrush. Now, this means two things to me. The first thing, I swear to God to you, that I heard, but then he explained to me the other parlance was that we were compatible. Because a toothbrush is an intimate thing to me. Everybody knows that. Bring your toothbrush. So if he's telling me, bring your toothbrush, and I am warning you, I cannot take warning anyway. That's it. That doesn't denote love. If you use the same words, even your coming with me is a little lighter. If you use the same words, I'm going to give you a talking to. I'm warning you. No, that's so good. I'm warning you. That's what you're going to say, the same language. All right, now, the language I used, if you look up language, this trial is about words. Language does not mean taboo, derogatory. Now, if we're going to get on a thing of, well, you know what that means, that they got this far out of it. They also stated, a guy said, kiss it. And the magistrate said, well, everybody knows what it means. Well, doesn't he remember Clara Bow? He's that old. Oh, but that's a... He was out of it, so yeah. Okay, so he's going to... warn me not to do it, he's going to schlep me away. If I do it again, if I use any of the language, the word, the, and, any of the language, not the Syrian, the Iraqian, Greek, but the language specifically I used in that hour show. He not only censored me, but gave me... And then he got really damning. I did a thing which I'm going to do for you right now. That he said was lewd. So this means that he's going to arrest me and is his frame of reference for lewdness. I talked about George Shearing. It was that night. I'd seen him on television that day, heard him in the morning, Clift Hotel, this quarter with four radios. Now I hear, well, George, how do I hear George Shearing has a cause now. You know, the thing I object to is blind people that stand on the corner selling pencils. Pass them by, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, because the dog they have is not a registered dog. They are given a dog. Many of these people abuse the dog. Now, that sounded strange to me. What would a blind person do to his dog? Except, you can see, you furry bitch, I'll show you. Yes, I'll cane you, you hound. That's the only thing he could rap out the dog for, you know. And he is really bugged. Now, television, I see like a dance, like a twist and Madison. And okay, boys and girls, next one I have George Shearing. I hear, pass them by. He's on it again. Let me dig him, okay. Pass them by, boys and girls. They're out there. Then I loved him because dig what he was mad at. The heinous crime
These people are cheating the IRS. Internal Revenue, they don't report. The beggars don't report. That's what bugged him. There's all that. He has those fantasies about the blind guy gets the Cadillac and the money and the blondes. And he takes the glasses off and he can hear in his eyes. Now, they play this tape in court. And Judge Axelrod, well, even that thing about the dog was lewd. Well, I try to search it out, and it's so hard to get in somebody else's head, you know. Let's break it down. What could he have lewd about? Because he's told me now that I'm going to get arrested again if I use... Then I think, well, maybe just words, but then the thing with the dog is lewd. The only thing I can maybe pick out is abuse the dog. When you heard abuse the dog, then his mind just bounced off, you know.
He may have won the Philadelphia battle, but it seems as if law enforcement personnel across the country and around the world had now declared open warfare on Lenny Bruce. He was banned in both the United Kingdom and Australia and arrested in Chicago, Los Angeles, Milwaukee, and eventually his hometown of New York. In New York City, District Attorney Frank Hogan successfully prosecuted Lenny for obscenity with the support of Francis Cardinal Spellman, the Archbishop of New York. Some claim at the instigation of Spellman. One in the latter camp appeared to be Lenny himself.
Oh, boy. You know what I was arrested for, don't you? What I'm always being arrested for, from my religious point of view. Trouble is, I picked on the wrong god. If I would have picked on the god that... the god whose replica is in the whoopee cushion stores. The god who... the tiki god, the Hawaiian god. Or the god whose belly is slashed as a bank, the Buddha. But I picked on the cute one, the Christian god. And since he is the contemporary god, the only god, the Africans, Kasabubu, is an idiot to assume that God could be black. And the Chinese people are all idiots. The god, we have an anthropomorphistic god with a beard and a mother that has a statue after her. He's a black and yellow god. He's a pumpkin god. He's a Halloween god. He's a god that stuck around a long time for the same reason that Kennedy won't. Overexposure, no one ever saw his face. That's why he stuck around all the time. He's a god, any kind of god you want him to be. He's a god he can make deals with. Oh, God, I promise I'll never do that. If you just give me this one more break, I promise I'll never do that again. He's a god that'll make you burn in hell. And if you listen to Paul Molloy, he is the most hostile god. He is the most forbidden god. He is a god that has no simpatico. He is a hateful god that wants Crump to stay in prison. He's a god that feels hiss is a convicted perjurer. Are we going to forget this? This man did some 44 months in prison, a criminal, no good Christian, no god could forget that. It's not a forgiving god, he's a hate you god. I wish God would show up and show that hiss and those damn communists. He was good with a Bowie knife god. He'd wrap him around as he would Castro. He's a god that'll punch you out.
Lenny Bruce performed his last concert at the Fillmore Ballroom in San Francisco on June the 25th, 1966, with opening act Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. Zappa later issued Lenny's famous Berkeley concert on his own Bizarre Records label. Lenny Bruce died of a morphine overdose on August the 3rd, 1966, at his Los Angeles home. Lenny's friend, writer and broadcaster Dick Schaap, eulogized Lenny in a piece for Playboy magazine that ended with one of the most famous paragraphs in all 1960s literature. Finally, one last four-letter word concerning Lenny Bruce: dead. At 40. That's obscene. Interestingly, Lenny had often closed his later performances by reciting a short poem by another literary figure of the 50s and 60s, Thomas Merton. This is how one of those closings was recorded.
Oh, no, I'll leave you with something. Just one light. Just let me just one, Alan. One and a half, a half minute, just, and I'll do it in a half minute. Just give me one red light. One red light. And just that one light. And And this sort of sums up my point of view as far as there's no right or wrong. That wrong means lost. My name was Adolf Eichmann. The Jews came every day to what they thought would be fun in the showers, and mothers are quite ingenious. Ah, hear me out. They would take children and hide them in bundles of clothing. We found the children, scrubbed them, returned them to the chambers and sealed them in. I watched through the portholes. They would daven, beat breast, and chant, "Hey, mein lieber Herr, oi vichol tichotch nachemo, gebel zain, ich kann nicht vergessen, und die aus mein Schäner." They took off their clean Jewish leather rings, removed their teeth and hair for strategic events. I made soap out of them. I made soap out of four of them, and they hung me in full view of the prison yard. People say Adolf Eichmann should have been hung. 9. Do you recognize the whoredom in all of you that you would have done the same if you dared know yourselves? I was a soldier. This is no defense that I was a soldier. A good soldier. I saw the end of a conscientious day's effort. I saw all the work that I did. I, Adolf Eichmann, watched through the portholes. I saw every Jew burned and turned into soap. Do you people think yourselves better because you burned your enemies at long distances with missiles without ever seeing what you had done to them? Hiroshima, mon amour, auf Wiedersehen und good night.
Lenny Bruce, ladies and gentlemen. Lenny Bruce. Let the buyer beware.
And that concludes this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. This program was an independent production by Dolls Who Radio Creations, copyright 2006. Produced at the studios of WLSU La Crosse, an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio on the La Crosse campus of the University of Wisconsin. I'm King David McKenzie. Thanks for listening. I hope that you'll join us again at the same time next week. Until then, remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space.